Well, Psalm 23. What can I tell you about Psalm 23 that you don't already know about?
Probably nothing.
But what a blessing that psalm has been to the Lord's people down through the ages. Whether we learn anything new in these coming weeks, I trust, it's my prayer that the psalm might become more of a blessing to us as we rehearse the familiarity of it. Some Sunday nights you're going to come and you're going to go home and say, I didn't learn one thing new about the pastor in that psalm tonight. What's that? Oh, from the pastor. You just learned what you already know. He's losing it. He can't remember what he's supposed to say at times. And he gets stuff mixed up. Don't you start that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So anyway, this evening we begin this new series, and I trust that it can be a blessing to us. Let's ask him now to speak to our hearts through it. Father, thank you for the treasure of this 23rd Psalm. We think of the truths, so simple and yet so encouraging and refreshing. We need your help, Lord. I need your help. I'm not able to do justice to this. But I'm trusting your Spirit in these coming weeks will open our hearts to precious truth as we go bit by bit through this psalm. May it become richer to each of us and more appreciated. Be glorified in what we say this evening, and I'll thank you for it. In your name, amen. Why don't we do something we seldom do, and that's read in unison the psalm. I know some of you have different versions, so you could take your eyes over there and you could read it in the King James Version, okay? Let's read that together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I'd like us to this evening, just start with some intro thoughts as we get into this. And it's not my intention to go very far into it this evening, but I hope far enough to keep you coming back. Robert Morgan had this to say about this particular psalm. He said, from the moment it was penned 3,000 years ago, the 23rd Psalm has been the world's best known and most beloved poem. It's been engraved on the hearts of every generation, from antiquity to modernity. How do you say that word? Modernity. You know what I mean. Modern times. It's been quoted across the centuries and through the millennia. Its words have blessed millions of sick rooms and thousands of classrooms. Gone are those days, huh? When you used to be able to quote it in school. It's been quoted in hospitals, jails, homes, and churches, in open-air rallies and underground meetings, in seasons of peace and in times of war. It's been whispered by the bedside of sleepy children and spoken as the last words of dying convicts. It is the most memorized and memorialized passage in the Bible. Psalm 23 sums up all our needs in life and all the abundance with God's grace. It begins with the Lord, and it ends with forever. What could be better than that? Well, I trust tonight will be a blessing as we begin. I'm sure you realize that the 23rd Psalm is a part of a grouping actually referred to as a triplet of psalms. What do you mean, Pastor? It's very noticeable that Psalm 22 presents the Lord as the good shepherd in death. Psalm 23 presents him as the great shepherd in life. And Psalm 24 presents him as the chief shepherd in his sure return. As we begin tonight, let's call what we want to look at this evening the claim. The claim, C-L-A-I-M. Why do you call it that? Because the first five words make a claim, make a statement. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. And if you notice in your Bible, I'm sure you're going to see that the spelling of Lord is in what way? All capital letters. Every time you find the word Lord in the Bible, I'm sure you realize it's not spelled that way. But when it is all capital letters, it is referring to Jehovah. It is referring to God, the Almighty. We were in Bible school, we've told you this before, but one of the things as eager young Bible students we learned in classes was that you often learn a lot if you look at the first reference you ever find a particular word in the Bible. And I often do that when I am studying. The whole point is that many times it sets the stage. It starts a theme, and that it pays off to look to see where the first time you're going to find this word. So what is the first word we're looking for? Not shepherd, but all capital letters with regard to God. Where do you find most beginnings? In the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, is the first time you're going to find this. Pardon me. Yes, chapter 2, verse 4. I thought I had made a mistake. Genesis 2, 4. An interesting thing to me regarding this is it tells us in chapter 2, verse 4 of Genesis, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the, here it is, first time, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, made the heaven, the earth and the heavens. What's interesting about this? It's interesting that God revealed this name to us before there was even sin recorded in the Word of God. We find that in chapter 3, sin enters, but in chapter 2, he had revealed who he is. The Liberty Study Bible has some interesting thoughts with regard to this name, Lord. Lord. Usually it is pronounced by Jewish people as what? Yahweh. Y-A-H-W-E-H. I want to read just some of the footnote from the Liberty Study Bible, and we'll look at some references that this footnote makes. The Study Bible suggests that it is the most significant name for God in the Old Testament, appearing, get this, 6,823 times. Kind of significant, isn't it? The name refers to God as the self-existent, active God. as it's related to the verb to be in Exodus 3:14. Let's look at that. In Exodus 3:14, and John's going to be getting to us in a few weeks on this. This is in the portion when God was trying to convince Moses that he had a job for him to do, that God had selected him to lead the people of Israel out of their captivity in Egypt. And during that resistant argument that Moses made with the God, with the Lord, one of the things that Moses voiced was, when I go and I tell them that God says, let my people go, and you want me to go and tell my people first, when they ask me, what's his name? What am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell them? And we see here in Genesis 3:14, Moses was told this. You tell them, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Remember, our footnote suggests that this word that we see here as God is related to the verb to be. I am to be. I am that I am. And say, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am. Not I was. Not I will be, but what? The self-existent one. I am hath sent me. He always is. He always is. The Lord is my shepherd. We find that it also indicates Israel's Redeemer in Exodus 6, verse 6. Exodus 6:6 says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, Yahweh, and I will bring you out of the burdens of Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. The Lord. I am. And it signifies Him as their Redeemer. We find in Leviticus 11:44-45, this name is associated with Israel's holiness. Let's turn to it. Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11:44-45. It tells us here in the verse just before that, and it helps to find out what's the context of some of these verses. The verse before it, the Lord had said, you shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, you should not be defiled thereby. Now, I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. What's another word for sanctify? What does that mean to set apart? And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I am Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore, because of that, be holy as my people, because I am holy. Not only is that name associated with God's holiness, but we notice in Genesis 6, verses 3 through 7, that name is associated with his hatred of sin. Genesis 6, 3 through 7. And it tells us, "And the Lord, Yahweh, said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. His days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and they became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord, Yahweh, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord, Yahweh, said, I'm going to destroy man, whom I have created on the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, fowls of the air, because it repenteth me. I am sorry that I have made it. This God, this holy God, this righteous God, has a hatred for sin. But we also see that this Lord God, who is our shepherd, we find reference to his graciousness to us in providing redemption for all. In Isaiah chapter 53, one of the old familiar passages among the prophets. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord, Yahweh, revealed? Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We just sang that a while ago, didn't we, Andrew? And with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord, Yahweh, hath laid on him, our Savior, the iniquity of us all. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord, Yahweh, to bruise him, to put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. As we think about our verse, we notice, first of all, the claim. There is a subject brought to our attention in that claim, And what is the subject in our verse? Perhaps I should say, who is the subject? It is the Lord. The Lord. And early on, the Lord wants to have a right relationship with His people. Go back to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. And notice here in verses 6, 7, and 8. Say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am Yahweh. I am the Lord, the subject of our Psalm. The Lord wants to have a relationship with His people. Now, as we look at this, the Lord, notice in the text here on the wall, what tense is the beginning of this psalm? Pardon? Present tense. Not the Lord was my shepherd. Not the Lord might be my shepherd, as though there were some uncertainty about it. Or, yeah, the day's coming, and He'll be my shepherd. But the thing that catches our attention in this is that the text by the psalm writer, he is not expressing some desire of his heart. Boy, I sure wish that the Lord was my shepherd. That'd be good if He was. Life would be much more enjoyable. But as we look at this, as we look at the claim, the psalmist is claiming a certainty. A certainty. The Lord is. But the next verse, he uses a personal word. And what personal word is that? My. The Lord is my shepherd. Charles Spurgeon said, this psalm does not say the world at large. If he be a shepherd to no one else, Spurgeon said, he is a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches over me. And he preserves me. Now, perhaps there are some, and I know the world's people, multitudes of people down through the ages have claimed, they've made this claim, that the Lord is my shepherd. But he's not. Well, Pastor, isn't the Lord everyone's shepherd? I mean, look at what Psalm 20. No. The Lord is not everyone's shepherd. It is true only through a conscious decision to accept God's work in your behalf through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, who, excuse me, died on the cross, shedding His blood for you, paying the price for your sin. And if you will, by faith, accept that, He will and can truly become your shepherd. But not everybody has done that. Have you? Have you? You might say, well, I've heard this psalm my whole life, and I just kind of thought everything was all fine and dandy. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it'd be nice, and that's sadly the way it is. As we read in that introductory paragraph from Mr. Morgan, this is probably the most quoted passage of Scripture in the world, wouldn't you agree? Multitudes of unsaved down through the ages, religious people, church people, have gathered together and they have quoted it, and it's kind of given them that nice little warm and fuzzy feeling all over, telling themselves, well, he's my shepherd and I don't have to worry about anything. Beloved, if you've never trusted Christ as your own personal Savior, I've got a shocking revelation for you. God is no more your shepherd if you have not received His Son as your own personal Savior than I am. The Lord, Yahweh. And we just looked at a very few of multiple references regarding the Lord. Just a few revelations about Him as He's pictured for us. He's the originator of redemption. He's the one that hates sin. He's the one that has reached out to give us the opportunity to have forgiveness and everlasting life. And He loves to have relationship a right relationship with people who are rightly related with him? Are you? He's not with everybody. Finally, in this claim, one last word. And what is that? Huh? Shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, then what's that make you and me? Huh? Sheep. Look around at a bunch of sheep. Look at them. But that is the relationship God loves to have with his own. Hundreds of times in the Old Testament, we find Israel referred to as sheep. We come to the New Testament, and we'll close with John chapter 10 tonight. A very familiar verse. John chapter 10. And look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's two things about us that we see in this verse, two distinctives regarding sheep. Number one, in this 27th verse, true sheep of the Lord do what? They hear his voice. What do you mean? Does that mean in what language? English? Is it English or Spanish? What language? No. My sheep, they're going to want to hear my voice. And they do hear my voice. Where do we hear his voice? One place we hear is where? We hear his voice in his word. There's another place we hear his voice. And where is that? Through the working of home in our heart and in our life. The Holy Spirit. He will bear witness with our spirit, Romans chapter 8. My sheep hear my voice, sometimes through closed doors. Paul, this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, heard God's voice how? In unanswered prayer that Paul prayed three times, I asked God, take this thorn of flesh away. But he heard God say what? No, but guess what, Paul? I've got grace that is sufficient for you. And you don't need me to take this away. You see, when someone truly knows the Lord as their own personal Savior, life becomes a joyous time of listening and recognizing the voice of the shepherd. The claim, the Lord is my shepherd, my sheep hear my voice. Next thing, this isn't on our part, but it certainly gives me great comfort. I trust it does to you. A lot of people, do you know the Lord is your own personal Savior? Do you know there is no uncertainty who belongs to Him and who doesn't? Because what's that 27th verse tell us? He what? He knows Him. You might fool the world, and you might fool yourself, but there's no one going to fool the shepherd. He knows. He knows who are His. And the second thing, though, the responsibility, or the second thing we see in connection with His sheep. Not only do His sheep hear His voice, but His sheep do what? They want to follow His voice. What's that suggest? Obedience. We talk about how does someone know if someone is truly born again? Isn't it just because they've prayed a prayer or made a claim? We have looked time and time and time again at this principle. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And here we see if we are truly His sheep, it's going to be shown in what? We're following Him. You say, are you saying we're going to be perfect? I've never met a perfect man yet. I'm looking forward to getting home to glory. And I won't have to struggle with sin anymore. How about you? But you know, my goal in heart and life is, when I understand something that God wants for me, I want to do what He wants me to do. And when I fail, and when I fight, when He brings me under conviction about that, I confess it. And by His strength, I want to turn and change and begin to do what He wants me to do. Sheep. If we got a shepherd, must mean we're sheep. I hope this will be a blessing to you. As you lay your head on the pillow this evening, what a thing to be thankful for. As we've just started, and in the weeks to come, we're going to look at this. You say, are we going to look at it a section at a time? You got that right. Can you guess what's coming next week? Do the math. Let's take the last half of that first verse that we've looked at this evening. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Father, for this truth. Thank you for this familiar passage. What a treasure it is. Bless these truths to our heart in the coming weeks. Be glorified in it. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you through your Son and being one of your sheep. Lord, if there are hearts listening that have never truly put their faith and trust in you, I pray you would bring them to that place of just saying, yes, Lord. I believe you did that for me, and I want to thank you. I want to accept you. I want to receive you. In your name we pray. Amen.